another edition of the set piece of the Banter Pub FC. Another condensed version, but still sauciest team on the pitch, spiciest takes. And today we're going to be talking about the craziness that GQ put out about a month ago. February 23rd, they dropped the list of the best English Premier League teams of all time. And the question is, what were they thinking? Guys, City at the top. Actually, a Chelsea heavy list also in the top 10. Three Chelsea teams in the top 10, back to back to back. The Invincibles, number 8. Arsenal, that far down. I could go on and on about this, but guys, what are your takes on the insanity that they put out?
I would like to start by saying, I would like to start by saying before Man United and Man City's representatives get off on one on this, I would just like to say, for the sake of justice, for the sake of accuracy, for the sake of statistical analysis, for the sake of truth, any list that is talking about Premier League winners and you're ranking them, any list that puts the only team to have won it unbeaten in eighth is unserious business. I don't understand where you come off and even think to yourself, oh yeah, we'll do this. Even if you're doing it for a troll, even if you're doing it for the lulz, even if you're doing it for the lulz, you have proven yourself to be absolutely useless and unseriousness in terms of anything football related. You don't know ball. You should find something. Look, the truth of the matter is in the fact that if you go to that article and look at the byline, do you see anybody's name against it? No, you do not. What does that tell you?
They took the whole L as a publication. It's written by GQ.
They are shielding and hiding a liar out here, bro. That's what they're doing. You understand? That kind of journalistic cowardice that I can't stand. You're going to write something this nuclear, like this hot, and you're not going to put your name against it? I'm sorry, that's cowardly behavior. This is the reason why the list goes in the bin. This is the worst thing that I've ever read in terms of football writing. Categorically, objectively, all of it, the worst. Flat out the worst. Like,
well, it's, first of all, I have to correct you, Joseph. It's not the worst thing that we've read in this past year. There was an article written by someone from a certain publication that thought they understood the what Negrito, you know, Negrito, and,
ooh,
you know,
oh yeah,
no, see, that was the worst thing in recent memory.
Idea for a set piece in the future. Let's rank all of the worst things we've ever read that are football related. Put them in a bracket and have at it. That's what
insert Jamaican air horn here. Okay, sorry, Neil.
As the resident United supporter looking at this list, several things are wrong with it. First of all, the fact that City's at the top is the first thing wrong. That's just number one.
So Neil, give us the top 10 in order. So like, so everybody has the context.
Oh yeah. Sure. Real quick for everybody. It's Manchester City. Number one, Manchester City, the 2017-2018 edition. Liverpool, the 2019-2020 edition. Number three is Manchester City, 2018-2019. Chelsea has 4, 5, and 6. So that's the 05 edition, the 2017 edition, the 06 edition. Manchester United in 94. The Arsenal Invincibles at number 8. Manchester United 07 at number 9. And City in 2012 is the top 10. So back to you, Neil.
So first of all, the fact that there are three Chelsea clubs in the top 5 above any United side in this list is a fucking travesty. First of all. That's number one. Okay, that's number one. Because I couldn't figure out when I read this article if they were ranking the, you know, the sides based on what they did or the players that they had. Because the Chelsea sides in 2006, in 2017, and 2005 could not hold the class of 92's jockstrap. Period, point blank. The only side that could potentially do damage against that United side, the only one is the Arsenal Invincibles. That's the only one. And that argument has been discussed for decades. So you mean to tell me, you mean to tell me that not only are there three Chelsea teams that are apparently better in GQ's eyes than the class of 92, because the class of 92 isn't even in the fucking top 10.
94, the treble winning side, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's the only squad you could put on the same level with the Arsenal Invincible accomplishment. Like, both of them accomplished things that haven't been replicated to date. Even though folks, like, you know, the game's different, blah blah blah. There's this crazy bias. We've got VAR, blah blah, all this stuff. To make the comparisons kind of unfair or whatever. None of them have still, well, even with these advantages in place, none of them have been able to accomplish either of those things. No other team who has won the Premier League since its inception has gone undefeated, and no other team has won a domestic double and the European title, right? Like, that's the bar. I know John's going to come in and talk about his century.
100 points.
Actually, you know what? That's a fair point. It also has not been done,
right? Jonathan, I'm sorry, but the fact that they have the Centurion City in Toronto, right? Never been done. At the same time, I would argue that from how the season went, especially from 2018-2019, wasn't that they have the audacity to have the Blackburn Rovers on here. They have, you know, they have Leicester's champion-winning side ranked 21st. Like, as the City supporter, like, what are your, like, of those two sides being third and first, I mean, obviously, the Centurion side, you know, that's never been done, obviously. But would you agree with the argument that the 2018-2019 team, as Ama described, because they had a target on the back, was probably the better of the two sides, despite the fact that the Centurion had never been done?
I mean, the argument has its merit. Because, yes, we came back. Not only did we have a target on our back because we were defending, but we came back from 10 points down in the league to Liverpool, who also was having, if Liverpool had won the league that year, they probably would have had two teams in the top five, because they also, we had 98 points to finish that season, which was the third highest now in league history. And Liverpool's fourth at 97. So so you could argue that point, but I think the Centurion is more important. One, because again, like as y'all said in the article shows, only team to get 100 points, only team to score 106 goals, like a record, most consecutive wins, best goal difference at 79, biggest points margin at 19, and the most wins, which is the critical piece. And I think it's arguable why the Invincibles, they're record breakers in their own right. Reading the article is because, like, they didn't win. Although they went undefeated, they didn't win a lot. So I think that's their argument. I don't agree with that argument, but that's the argument is. So point being is, like, the Centurion is... I'm gonna say this. That's just the argument. Going undefeated is like that. That is no one's ever done it. So
real quick, we should put in this quick, and I'll let you continue, John, if you have more. I want to give the criteria that GQ use, GQ in quotes, whoever this soul was that took this on. But in quotes, I'll give you the criteria. Yeah, I'm in quotes from the article. This is the criteria they used. This is not simply an exercise in tallying up the number of points each team got in their title-winning season. Of course, the wins, losses, and draws are hugely significant in the rankings, but there's more to it than that. Things such as dominance, swagger, goals scored, goals conceded, the strength of the opposition, the extent of the season's superiority, and the pressure of the situation must all be taken into account. So just want to give that qualifier. That's what supposedly GQ based these rankings on. So, but still, so a lot like left those, to be desired.
So, some of those clearly, are contradictory, right? Like, oh, the pressure.
And not only that are they contradictory, but clearly the person who wrote this fucking list became a fan of the Premier League in 2006. Because you mean to tell me swagger, the fucking 92 side? Like, what?
That man loves Frankie Lampard. It is very apparent. He loves Frank Lampard. He loves Chelsea swagger. He loves bad boys. It's very clear.
If Frank Lampard's a bad boy, then I'm the fucking Queen of England. As far as I'm concerned, that is just like, well, you can go ahead and hold that shit, bro. Like,
you can't call Frank Lampard a fucking bad boy when Didier Drogba was on the same team? Are you what?
That's true. He's talking. He probably loves the swagger of Didier Drogba. Like, you can't.
I have absolutely. I don't care. I have absolutely no respect for the person or persons that put this article together. None whatsoever. You can all kiss the blackest part of my ass. I do want to say one thing though. I think to what Neil said about Blackburn deserves criticism, because what Blackburn did was highly unlikely. Yes, they did break the transfer record twice to get both Alan Shearer and Chris Sutton. They were called the SAS. They shipped 40 of Blackburn's like 89 goals that season. They were absolutely lethal. They were what Dwight York and Andy Cole will go on to be better than. They were the best strike partnership in the league at the time. And when they won the league, they didn't really reinvent the wheel. They just did it more efficiently than anybody else. They dispatched opponents. They didn't ship goals. They did what any championship side should do. It's just that they were not favored to win it. They set the stage for what Leicester City was arguably is the fairy tale sort of story of the Premier League in Premier League history thus far. You talk about someone who was highly unfavored to win it. They broke bookmakers' odds to the point now where bookmakers won't even do 5,000-1 odds anymore. It's not a thing because they paid out so much money for the people who put money down on Leicester to win the league that season. Like, both Leicester City and Blackburn Rovers, from my humble perspective, deserve far more credit than any of the top three Chelsea sides that were mentioned in that list. As a matter of fact, you want to talk about top fives of all time. Leicester and Blackburn's wins have to be in it. They have to be in that top five. If we're talking about things that have never been done before on those merits, those clubs embodied that, right? The first Premier League title in Blackburn's history in God knows how long. Leicester having never won it, doing it, right? You know, I'm sorry. Man City's Centurion thing is impressive, but it doesn't clear the top two. It just doesn't. It stays third. And you have to give it. I'm sorry.
It's definitely not going ahead of below Blackburn or Leicester City.
It stays third. It stays third. And that is the as high as it can go, because you do not discredit what Manchester United did with that treble winning season. The last British club to do it. Was Celtic.
It's not about winning European. This is about the Premier League in itself. We're not counting anything but the Premier League.
But like it's just like, oh well, like that it's happening, right? Like the Europe is happening. That's part of it. That's squad rotation. That's like that you can't take the Premier League in a vacuum because the squads are not playing just the Premier League, right? And
right.
But also, you can't hate because City's never won a European Cup. Like, don't be mad and say, oh, well, the Premier League
is just, it's not about being mad.
Apart from the obvious.
It's not about being mad. We were in the Arsenal was also in the Champions League. So is City in the Champions League, the same in the same vein.
Being
so
in the Champions League and winning the Champions League are two different things. Both of your clubs.
That's true.
No. The argument is about rotation, which we also had to do, which Arsenal also had to do.
Sure.
So it's not even those things cancel out. It's about the Premier League in itself.
No. The farther you go in those tournaments, the more you have to rotate, right? Like, and your opponents that are not also still competing in the final ebbs at the pointy end of the season, you know, you don't have that same, it matters. You can't tell me that it doesn't matter to be competing in Europe as the.
But it doesn't matter for this list. Like, if this treble winning team broke records, because did the Manchester United Premier League team break records like Arsenal did?
The only team to win the treble.
No. It's not about the only team winning the treble. Did you break records in the Premier League? Did you get the most points? Did you get the most wins? Did you go undefeated? Did you break any record in that treble winning season in the Premier League?
We won the treble.
No, that's not breaking a Premier League record.
That was something new, but it was in the treble.
Well, to be fair, like, How old was the Premier League, right? Like, the Premier League just started, right? Like, so there's, like, even if they had broken a Premier League record, it wouldn't have been a big deal because everything was breaking a record at that time, right?
Well, but also, like,
93-94 was like the second season or something.
No, right? No. It was the treble winning season was 99, not 94.
But
they did set at least one record that I can mention. They set the current, if it hasn't been broken yet, they set the record for the largest away win in the Premier League that season. They won 8-1. And that is a record, the only record from there that Man United, I think, have just recently broken, which, again, I don't know how this guy is doing what he's doing, but he's doing it. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's side has gone on to win 18 Premier League away games without defeat. That is a new club record. They set that record that season in 1992. They definitely were doing all sorts of unprecedented shit. And that's the reason why you isolate the things that you isolate it down to the Premier League. And even then, they were still unfavored to win it because of the way that they stretched themselves in a whole bunch of other competitions, not least the FA Cup. We were favored to beat them in that semi-final until Ryan Giggs did what the fuck he did. You understand? Like,
and this season went down to it because Arsenal was.
Sorry, go on, Amma.
I think they won by one or two points. Like, I know it was within a match. It went down to it in that season. It was right then. Arsenal was right into it. I felt like Arsenal should have won it that season and stopped United from winning the treble, but we didn't.
Yeah, we should have. We had the best opportunity to do that in the FA Cup semi-final. But again, Ryan Giggs did something that, quite frankly, I haven't seen since, even though Ryan Giggs is, you know, a terrible human being.
So as we move forward, really quickly, Joseph, you kind of started it off. Clarify, what is your top five? And then we'll go around and figure out what would be your top five. We can't do all 28, but so I know you mentioned Arsenal. So what's your top five seasons?
Well, the number one undisputed best Premier League side to ever do it are the Invincibles. That is just straight facts. I don't care how many points you set in a certain season, deeply impressive as it is. Did you win the league unbeaten? If the answer is no, shut up. That's number one. Number two, the Man United 1998-1999 season. I'm sorry. Fergie's impressive, deeply impressive use of the depth every single player they had produced. Like, that's wild. I can't remember the statistic at the time, but I remember it being quoted back then, how there was only like maybe a handful of players for Man United that didn't score for this side. Like, it's outrageous. And then, of course, the treble, which has not been done since, has to be number two. Number three, then you factor in Man City Centurion winning side. Again, deeply impressive records that were set, definitely in terms of points accrued and goals scored. But that can be broken. Liverpool almost did it. Like, it's fine. It's not that impressive. No, but it can be done, especially with the way that football teams play now. You go on that kind of breakneck pace, you're expected to make 100 points now. It's no longer that unprecedented. That's the point. Number four, I'm going to go ahead and give it to Leicester. Leicester's season, that season. Claudio Ranieri was the story of the season for me that season. Think about how he was disgraced by Chelsea. Man comes back, yeah, with Leicester, who were not predicted to be higher than mid-table that season. And he ransacks the season. He absolutely, it was a smash and grab job the whole way through. And it was so exciting. And it was their first, like, they changed the way that they made people pay attention to tactical victories again. Rather than spending money for big players, they beat people on the pitch with what they had. And they had Riyad Mahrez. They had Jamie Vardy, Wes Morgan, Slabhead before he was called Slabhead. You understand? Like, you know, who was it? Daniel Drinkwater. Yes, Kante and Daniel. Kante, literally the heart and soul of it. Ranieri said that he felt that Kante could kick himself the ball from the other side of the pitch and grab it. He could assist himself in Route 1 football. He said that. And Kante goes on to win a World Cup. I mean, again, being the engine of a side that just has no business winning things. That's the difference. And then, of course, fifth would be Blackburn Rovers from 1996. Like, again, SAS were the prototype for what strike partnerships can and should be in the Premier League. And they did it. Also, I like the story about Jack Walker, because Jack Walker was the most hated man back then because of the records that he broke, not just the top two transfer records back-to-back with Sutton and Shearer, but also for goalkeeper Tim Flowers broke the record for that too. So, like, he was Mr. Moneybags before everybody else was doing the Moneybag stuff. So there's another thing that hadn't been done before up until that point, like proper. You know what I mean? Again, that's just me personally. You talk about the best five Premier League sides to have ever done it. Those are your five. You will notice a conspicuous lack of Liverpool and Spurs. Long may that remain.
Okay, so Jonathan, I want to hear your top five next. What's your top five set of teams for the history of the Premier League?
Well, you know, it's not surprised that I'm okay with number one. just because, yes, 100 points. It is hard to get 90 points in the Premier League, much less 100. And to be the only team that's ever done it, and breaking records and doing that, like, I think the criteria that you had in this list, Adam, that you said is like dominance. Like, and just to answer the question, like, the reason why this was so much more important is because Pep was fourth place last year, the year before, and was under serious pressure. Like, his job was under serious pressure in the year. So even though, like, with all the things that he did his first year, they sucked. And so he really needed to step up. So point being is that Centurion, we dominated the league that year. No one had any chance of coming close to us. Even broke the record for most points, like gold differential. So I'll do that. The one in that top five, I'm actually okay with the top five except for Liverpool. I'll take Liverpool out. They 99 points, which was solid, but they were not stomping teams like City was. Like, they were getting 2-1 here, you know, little 1-0 here, little VAR goals here, in a league where everybody was dropping off. Like, they were the only team that was, credit to them, the only team that stepped up. Like, that was above the rest. But I would take Liverpool out. I'll put the Invincibles in there. I would actually put United, the 93-94 that was there, over the treble winning team. And again, the treble is important and is valuable. My argument is that, one, it's been done before. It's been done since then, United. Not in the Premier League, but it's been done after. So there is precedent for it. But that team, I think that was I might be mistaken that year, the year that it came back, when Newcastle was on the verge to win and it came back. I might be confusing that year with that other one. But anyway, 93-94 is a solid year. I would say I would keep Chelsea at 4-0-4-0-5. One, because they're challenging the invincible team. I mean, also, I think I hate Chelsea. I think we all are in agreement here about Chelsea.
The Banter Pub is an anti-Chelsea space.
I will go ahead and concur with the right honourable gentleman about Chelsea Football Club. They are a despicable outfit, and I hope. Who was it that said it? I think it was Ken Burns, the former Leeds United chief executive, said that they should build an electric fence around Stamford Bridge.
They should. But I think the reason why I'm putting them there, I think we kind of forget. This is Jose's peak right here. And Chelsea were a super dominant team that year as well. Like, to the fact where even Arsenal, the invincible Arsenal, couldn't catch up to them that year. So I would keep them there for that reason. And then five, it'd be a toss-up. It could be a toss-up with, obviously, the 18-19 City team that came back versus Liverpool. Chelsea under Conte is a good shout, too. Or even the United 06-07 team, which was super dominant. Like, Liverpool was challenging a little bit, but we knew they had no chance of coming back and winning. So it was a toss-up between those three, but I think the four I have is solid.
Okay. And next up, Ama, we'll head to you. But what's your top five?
Wow. Okay. I'll start at the top because that's easier. No surprise. I rank the Arsenal Invincibles, the Arsenal 03-04 squad, as the best Premier League team of all time, best Premier League champion of all time, for all the reasons we've mentioned already. And no big surprise, no big debate. Number two will be I think is the treble side as well. For the reasons I espoused earlier, I just think it took a lot of, these days we'd say it's got concentration and like squad management, all that, in order to accomplish that. And it's true. I respect the accomplishment because, again, it hasn't been repeated in 20 odd years. Three for me is the City Centurion squad. And I had, it was obvious for me that, the accomplishment is huge. And the biggest thing that pushed them over the line is that Liverpool almost won it, right? Like, it was that pressure, that competition that they ended up on top of. I think it would have been a lot easier to drop the Centurion squad. If they didn't win, that season would have been worthless to me, right? If they didn't come back and win it. And we'd all be talking about Liverpool breaking their curse in the 17-18. We'd be talking about how they scored 99 points and won the league. And so anyway, City Centurions, number three. Number four for me would be that Chelsea 04-05. The reason why Mourinho was called the special one. Like, this was, as much as I hate both Mourinho and Chelsea, they defeated, they won the league handily, actually, that year. I want to say at least 10, 12 points above the next contender, above Arsenal. And that was right after we won the, it was a tough grind going invincible, going 49 undefeated. And even that, breaking that streak due to some dubious refereeing decisions going the way of one unnamed club, at least for this moment, it made it a little easier for them. But I feel like that was, it's kind of the beginning of Chelsea being somebody you care about beating. And they had a decent run after that. And then fifth, this one's hard because there's only one spot and there are folks you could mention. I also like an underdog, and so Leicester was in my rankings. But to be fair, I'd select Liverpool in spite of their 4-0 loss to Watford, who were, ended up getting relegated. They still won it in the COVID season. In all the crazy superlatives, they were still able to, like, you know, bring it home. I think the just breaking the curse deserves something, some mention. And that's it for me. I'll put Liverpool up there, but I'd very easily honor Leicester's accomplishment. Simply for the unlikely nature of that win. That's my five.
All right. And Neil, really quick, what are your top five? Which Man United team is number one? And who follows after them?
So the treble is obviously number one. Number two would be the 93-94 United. Number three would be the Arsenal Invincibles. Number four would be City Centurions. And number five would be Leicester City.
Okay, that's pretty good. Yeah, so really quick, mine would obviously Arsenal Invincibles. I think my main thing is just mentality. I think there's a big thing of, as Amma just mentioned, it's even Liverpool, mighty Liverpool, lost to relegation side by four. I think that's the mentality of coming in, week out, and just, like, you know, not, again, as everybody's pointing out, maybe not the most dominant, but just to avoid losses through a whole season in the Premier League, I just can't. I'm a mentality kind of person. Next up, number two for me would definitely be the City Centurions. I still, mentality, they still came with it. And to be that dominant, it's that important. Three for me would probably be the Man U treble side, 99. Four, actually, because I'm a sucker for a good movie, Leicester City, just because it was basically a movie plot, a ragtag band of misfits going against, like, the powers that be and holding it off. And honestly, a very frustrating season for an Arsenal fan, because that was a season we totally could have won it. But they held on and did what they had to do, to the point that Arsene Wenger was trying to get Jamie Vardy on Arsenal. So there's that. Then last but not least, I would put Liverpool, because again, last year, the mentality, even though they did lose to Watford, Troy Deeney, who I am not a fan of at all. Just the fact that, I mean, we've talked about it on the podcast before, just this season of pandemic is just strange for everybody, to take a break and have layoff, to come back to empty stadiums, and still do it, take care of business, and still have a very super successful season. And breaking the curse, the pressure that they had, you know, coming off the Champions League, and to continue that with this still a very formidable City squad. I think that you can't leave that out. But we thank you guys for joining us. Go look up the article by GQ, laugh at it, come hit us up on Twitter, share your thoughts with us, Instagram, wherever you follow us. And always remember, subscribe, leave great ratings for us. This has been another edition of The Set Piece. Remember, watch your back post. We're out.